this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Hey, welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's one from Jacksonville. Good job, Florida. That's right, the weird news capital of perhaps the world. I was actually in Florida just a few days ago. Well, of course, next week, the new big Star Wars movie finally debuts. And, one store clerk in Jacksonville got maybe an unwanted early preview. That's because a 23-year-old man dressed up like Darth Vader stormed into a convenience store with a gun and in his best Vader voice said, "This is a holdup." Police said the suspect threatened the store clerk with the gun and demanded money when the employee saw an opportunity and smashed a big jar of ranch dressing square on top of Vader's helmet.
Good for
him. Believe it or not, the robber was stunned, ran out of the store. The suspect removed his mask and was identified by a witness, and he has now been charged with armed robbery. So how about that, kids? All Yay. These years of lightsaber fighting, and it turns out that Vader's kryptonite is a big jar of ranch dressing. Well, hey, let me tell you, we got a lot of weird stuff to dig into tonight. What a show! Hey, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Sam, the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
Hey, buddy. What's happening?
I'm back here in the Bermuda Triangle. The last time we recorded a program, I was in Texas, and of course we had a very shaky connection, but I think things turned out quite well. And then I spent some time in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Now I'm back here. As a matter of fact, see Eric Scott, the big shot Scott, Washington D.C. filmmaker. He's flying down here, and we're worked over the next month editing a movie that we shot earlier this year. And then I'm going to be off to first New Orleans for a little while and then to Los Angeles for a little while. And then I take the big conspiracy cruise down to the Mexican Riviera for a week. And I'm not even sure where I'm going to go from there. So bouncing around a lot, but things are going very well. And I know, Investigator Shelley Wright, you are enjoying the holiday season. I've heard nothing but wonderful, charming things developing in your life.
Oh, yes. Yes. Having a wonderful, wonderful Christmas season.
That's right. You know, for those who don't know, maybe you've never listened to this show before, Shelley Wright is of Wright's Coin Shop, and which I know is absolutely slammed right now. As a matter of fact, later, Shelley, we might even play a little special music just for you.
Thank you.
And I want to say, before I start, you know, promoting the things that we're going to do tonight that will benefit me directly, like maybe mentioning what you're giving Sam as his Christmas gift and stuff like that. One thing I want to tell everybody right off the bat. Okay, we have just a ton of fascinating stuff to dig into, but I've got a special guest scheduled to join us hour two of the program tonight. And, of course, if you are in the Asheville area, you undoubtedly know the name Robert Moog. And, you know, Moog, he died in Asheville about 10 years ago. And he created some of the earliest practical synthesizers used by the finest musicians around the world. He also helped develop the theremin, which is a very bizarre instrument, which I play. It is one of the few instruments that can be played without any physical contact.
Might I interject for a moment? I recently completed my first electrical project.
Yeah.
Soldering a circuit board together. I made my own light-sensitive theremin.
Awesome.
Yeah, I actually made it work. I couldn't believe it. I got my little third-hand soldering tool out.
Yeah?
Yeah, magnifying glass and all that. And I did it. I did it, Joshua. I soldered.
Good for you. Can you play it?
Yeah, I don't have it with me. I'm trying to stuff the guts of it into a plastic dollar store guitar. Yeah. And it's really hard to fit the 9-volt battery and the circuit board and the speaker. I put the speaker in the fake little sound hole. So that way I can just flip a switch and be like, meow. But, it doesn't sound nearly as cool as a Moog theremin. But,
well, you know, as a matter of fact, you might remember, Sam, I have a recording I did of the Little Drummer Boy on theremin. You remember that?
I do.
And there are people who, you know, are listening to it again this year. I sent it out a newsletter.
It gets traded on the weird underground. It's on the dark web. You can find it.
Exactly. So maybe we'll play some of that for you tonight. If not tonight, I feel assured that we'll have it for you on these airwaves before Christmas. But one of Robert Moog's engineers was a man named August Worley. And August Worley has gone on to move beyond just the realm of engineering and science and R&D. He is also a visionary healer, I think we can call him, who has created a machine called the Paradigm Machine. Now, that's spelled P-Y-R-A-D-Y-M, the Paradigm Machine. And I first heard about this when friends of mine said, "Hey, have you been hooked up to the Paradigm Machine yet?" And I said, "Huh?" They said, "Yeah. You don't know August Worley?" I said, "No." "Oh, man, you got to meet August Worley." I mean, I kept hearing over and over. I said, "What is the Paradigm Machine?"
Is this what you were talking about that night, you and me and Shelley and Tad, and we went out and you were talking about that at dinner?
That's exactly right.
Right.
Yep, it's that machine. And they, you know, I was told by my friends, this guy hooks you up to this machine. And it actually alters your state of mind. It changes your chakras. And they A, B, C, go down this list of, you know, all the strange and wonderful things this machine can do. And so I had an opportunity earlier this year to go over to August Worley's house to meet him, to get hooked up to the Paradigm Machine, and have some really interesting conversations about what it means to be a human in terms of the electromagnetic field. You know, what is it about you that resonates at certain frequencies and whatnot that makes you what are and how do we tap into that. So I've been wanting to get him on here for a while, and he travels a lot as well. And so we're going to bring August Worley on. I think we can affectionately call him kind of a mad scientist, kind of a guy in my realm of things. And we're going to dig into what this thing does, this machine, when you hook people up to it. And I'll tell you about my own experience when I was hooked up to it for just 7 minutes. So that's coming up, hour number two. Okay, we're getting actually pretty close to break time, but before we get into breaks,
a couple minutes.
Well, let me ask you guys this then. You guys, Sam and Shelley, you were able to go and see a screening of the new movie Krampus, and I have not seen it yet. So let's get a little feedback. Well, Sam, we'll start with you. What'd you think?
Well, I thought it was not bad for a PG-13 rated, holiday/suspense thriller horror. I mean, it wasn't, like, terribly gory, but there was a couple parts where Miss Wright jumped.
Just a little.
She, ah! And there was a couple points where I made the wicked chuckle. You know, like, I'm not going to ruin anything, but a teddy bear with big fangs.
Right.
I liked that a lot.
I don't remember. I did make this comment during the movie. I don't remember the Krampus having little evil helpers. I thought that the Krampus was kind of a solo act, but oh well, there you go. It was good. I mean, for a PG-13 movie.
I don't know how factually accurate it stayed to the myth or the legend or
just a whole lot. But it was still good. Yeah. I mean, it was worth going to. And the company and the buttered popcorn were really good.
Yeah. Good time to go out with Miss Shelley Wright and have a lovely evening and watch a flick, drink an icy.
Yes.
I would recommend it if you wanted to go out for a slightly scary, fun little holiday movie.
I guess I was, and I didn't even know what the rating was, so I guess it was in keeping with PG-13 because I was really hoping it would be a little scarier. I was really hoping to jump.
If it was a hard R, it would have been pretty awesome.
Oh, it would have been so awesome if it had been a hard R. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of hard R, I don't know how hard a thing has to be a hard R, but maybe I'll use that as a tie into my novel in a minute. But before we get away from Krampus, you know what? I will say this. I do recall from the authentic Krampus mythology that in some cases he does have helpers. And these are usually portrayed as, I think, kind of like hooded spirits that are sometimes kind of feminine, like there's some kind of a dark goddess kind of character from,
or maybe teddy bears with teeth,
or evil elves.
Yeah. I never heard of the teddy bear with teeth before. Okay, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, hey folks, if you haven't heard about this very strange story about ghost ships, as they call them, that have been appearing, drifting up onto the shores of Japan.
We're gonna knew it was going to be Japan. I knew you were going to say.
And there's a brand new story breaking about a new law regarding what you can do and cannot do in outer space. And a new technology involving crystals.
And Florida has already ruined every one of them.
We have so much to talk about. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Alulu, 7 7 1 2 7 7 Alulu, 1 2 3 7 7 Alulu, 7 7 1 2 7 7 Alulu, nur 1 2 3
Das sind ich liebe.
Sieben sieben Alulu, 7 7 1 2 7 7 Alulu.
broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. And hosting from the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico, I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange. And, you know, yeah, that bumper music is kind of on the weird side, but that music, that song is becoming a smash hit on the internet. You ought to see the video. I was sent that by one of my favorite listeners, a guy I've never met, but he's been a big fan of this show for a long time. He lives in Alabama. His name is Joshua Dendy, and Joshua has this sort of twisted, sick sense of humor, kind of like I do, and so he's always sending me and Mobius stuff on the internet that's just hilarious, you never know how quirky it's going to be, and that was something he suggested. And by the way, Joshua just had his birthday on December 5th, so
happy birthday, Josh.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, keep it strange, amigo. Okay, you know, before we get into some of these weird news stories, I also want to mention that, of course, this time of year, a lot of the ghost tours and that sort of thing are shut down already because it's getting a little nippy outside. The Haunted Asheville ghost tours not only operate year-round, even if there's snow on the ground, but we embrace the wintertime. And we do something very special that can only be experienced in Christmas. It's an event called Spirits of Christmas. And basically you get to travel with your host to some cozy little cocktail lounges and enjoy some seasonal beverages while you hear all kinds of spooky and scary and sometimes disturbing stories about Christmas and the holiday season. Obviously, we talk about Krampus. We talk about the Mari Luid. We talk about some horrible murders and things that have happened on Christmas. We talk about Charles Dickens and the significance of Christmas ghosts and all that stuff. It's an indoor experience for the most part. And we're only going to do this one more time this year, though. And we only have 8 slots left. So it's going to be next Friday, December 18th. That's the same night Star Wars comes out, but this is going to be at 6 p.m. So that's Friday, December 18th, 6 p.m. Only 8 people can do this to keep it a small, cozy group. And you will be hosted personally by my chief occult researcher at the Asheville Mystery Museum, Mr. Tad McDivitt. So if you're interested in that or anything else.
He's an interesting guy.
He's a fantastic storyteller.
Yes, I thoroughly enjoyed his company.
And I enjoyed the Spirits of Christmas last year. I went last year. I loved it. It was so cool because it was the dark side. It was so up my alley. My friend Nikki and I, we had a wonderful time. So Tad will really do a great job. You're going to have a good time.
Well, thank you for saying that. And, you know, it's true. People just rave about this experience. And it's one of the most exclusive, rare things you can do in the Christmas season. Go to hauntedasheville.com to get your tickets. You have to book them online, hauntedasheville.com. If you want to be one of the 8 people who gets to do that next Friday in downtown Asheville, Spirits of Christmas. And speaking of Christmas, gift-giving, obviously, Shelley, you and Sam are very, very cozy now. You went out on a date together to see Krampus, and I knew you would give him the most special Christmas gift.
First of all, I took her to the Stuckey's in Oldport. We got pecan log rolls. Then I took her out to the moving picture house.
And so tell everybody what you gave Sam for Christmas, Shelley.
I gave him.
It's not herpes.
No, it is not. I gave him his very own copy of your brand new book, the
Gringo Maniac Murder Spree.
Yes.
The Gringo Maniac Murder Spree. And it.
I have it right here.
It's fabulous. It's bloody. It's gory. It's violent. It is absolutely the best thing in the world to read at Christmas.
I am now going to read a passage off of page 82.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you can do that.
Blank. They're all shot up, he screamed over the wind. He fumbled with them for a bit. To no avail. Up ahead, an orange warning pole jutted from the sea. Blank, he shouted. Jump now! Jump now!
That's a really good overall impression of what you get.
That was just a random page opening, and I had to bleep twice.
I should just sell a redacted version of this. It's just a bunch of black pages.
The Gringo Maniac Murder Spree pamphlet.
You know, that would be funny. One day I'm going to release the most explicit book ever, and the whole it's just going to be black pages. It's a totally redacted
book. Looks like the FBI files from it.
Yeah. That'd be even funnier, wouldn't it, to be like, I'm releasing the undiscovered FBI files.
Joshua P. Warren is a blank. Blank with a blank from blank. It's a fill in your do your own adventure.
Yeah, that's
and Mad Libs.
a much easier form of writing a choose your own adventure book. Just have a
do
bunch
you remember
of
Encyclopedia Brown?
Yes.
I loved Encyclopedia Brown.
Do you remember that one case where, or was it? Did you also read The Great Brain? You remember that he was like from Salt Lake City, Utah. He was like a Mormon kid or something in the 1800s.
I think I did like once, and it didn't click with me. Yeah,
it was sort of like Encyclopedia Brown, but it was like I remember this one Encyclopedia Brown where he's like, "Aha, I got you. It had to have been the librarian because she would have definitely known that the only word that has back to back, O O K K E E P P E R, was a bookkeeper."
Do you remember Nate the Great?
Nate the Great, yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
I used to love reading those little detective stories.
We,
as a matter of fact,
between the two of us, we just kept Scholastic alive in the
80s. Oh, I loved those.
Yeah, and I, even as an adult, once in a while, I get nostalgic and I'll jump on Amazon.
I saw it driving past the school the other night. It said book fair this week, Scholastic. And I was like, I wonder if I can go in there without looking like a creeper.
I would have felt the exact same way. Isn't that weird?
The book fair.
Yeah, that was the best time of the year, period. You know,
you would circle everything in that little newspaper circular, and like you would be like, I want this. I want to get this.
Oh, and you couldn't wait till your books came in. It was forever.
Listen to us dorky kids. Reading was awesome.
Yeah, wow. What a flashback, huh, guys? All right, well, hey, listen to this. This is a story that's been making some headlines. It's quite eerie, really. Over the last month, a series of what they call ghost ships, now these are abandoned fishing vessels, have washed ashore along the Japanese coastline with scant evidence as to their origin and eerily containing the corpses of some of the sailors who once helmed the fleet.
How would it not have any clues containing the origins? I mean, boats are pretty well...
Let me continue. There are some actual clues that I think are pretty good clues, frankly. It says the mystery began early in November when four ghost ships ran aground on the coast there and were followed by an additional seven ships throughout the month. A Japanese official said the vessels contained, quote, skeleton-like corpses, end quote, being found on board, with the total number of bodies reaching 20 so far. But they say an investigation into the wave of ghost ships has yielded only what they call a scrap of evidence to be from a North Korean flag. It's a scrap of fabric from a North Korean flag and a hand-painted sign which says Korean People's Army. So these tantalizing clues, as well as the nature of the boats, have led to speculation that they came from a North Korean fishing fleet gone awry. Others have theorized the ships may have deliberately strayed off course in an attempt to flee the oppressive North Korean government, but they were ill-equipped to find their way to freedom because they didn't have any GPS equipment. And the state of the bodies suggests they've been adrift for some time, and determining exactly how and why they became abandoned will remain a mystery, they say, unless a fortunate survivor can be found. But, hey, those sound like pretty good clues to me, wouldn't you say, Sam?
Well, it's something, all right. I would definitely think more of a refugee-type thing, but not a whole lot of bodies.
Yeah, only 20 so far. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to share with you all this new law that has been passed regarding what you can do in space. And I also have just a fascinating story about what scientists have discovered regarding crystals. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Tongue-tied, twisted, just an earthbound history.
All through the night, I'll be awake and I'll be with you. All through the night, this precious time, when time is new. All through the night today, knowing that we feel the same without saying. We have of no past, we won't reach back. Keep with me forward or through the night. And once we start, the need to cleanse and death goes running up through the night. Until it ends, there is no end. All through the night, Stray Cat is crying, so Stray Cat sings back.
For spending your night with us here on Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And the number to Wright's Coin Shop is 828-298-5402. Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina is the absolute perfect place to buy a Christmas gift. And I want you to think about this for a moment. Think about what you got for Christmas 5 years ago. Where is that gift now that somebody gave you 5 years? Do you know where it is? Did you trash it? You probably can't even remember what somebody gave you 5 years ago. But I guarantee you, if somebody gave you a gold or silver coin 5 years ago, you know exactly where that is. Because it doesn't matter how old you are, young or old, man, woman, child, doesn't matter. If somebody gives you a nice, shiny, sparkling, you know, gold, silver coin, that is something that you're going to hang on to. You're going to treasure, literally.
You do bring up a good point. That would be in your little special box.
Yes, it would. Yeah. And so it applies to everybody. Wright's Coin Shop. Again, write this number down, 828-298-5402. There's also a link at speakingofstrange.com. As well as a live chat during the show and regular updates on weird news around the world. You'll find a podcast you can listen to for free going back for years. All that kind of stuff for you at speakingofstrange.com. You know, before I get into this this news story here, by the way, my name is Joshua P. Warren. I'm joining you from Puerto Rico. I just want to fit this in here because this happened to me late last night. And I thought, I just got to talk about this on Speaking of Strange. Here in Puerto Rico, I don't see that many spiders. But when I do, they're very creepy looking. And one time there was a tarantula in my house that I had to, I won't tell you what I did to him. I think he snuck in on some plants from another place, like the Dominican Republic. But anyway, they have these spiders here with long, spindly legs. And they are just lightning fast. They're the fastest spiders I've ever seen. You can't kill them. okay. I mean, you try. Maybe I'm just getting slow here at my age, but I'm telling you, these things, they're incredibly fast. And so I walk into the bathroom. The bathroom has kind of a high sloping ceiling. This is probably like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I look up and I see one of these spiders with the long spindly legs. And it's kind of up there next to the ceiling. And I'm looking at it, and I think, you know, I'm tall enough that I think I could just barely reach up and smash that thing. I'm sorry if you're a spider lover, I am not. So I take out a couple of Kleenexes, and I almost get up on my tippy toes, and I'm 6 foot two, and I have rather long arms, so I'm reaching up there as high as I can, and I think, yeah, I'm going to get him. And so my hand's coming closer and closer, and right as I am about to make the coup de grace, this spider leaps directly off of the wall straight for my face. It was like an object in a 3D movie, just popping straight at me. Of course I jumped backward. No, I didn't scream. I'm a man now. Everything's dropped properly. I didn't scream. But the weirdest thing is this spider comes right at my face. I leap back. I'm flipping around. He was gone, vanished. For the next half hour, I think, is he on me? He's on me somewhere. He's probably on my back. You know, I took off my shirt. I don't know what spider.
Ooh, go
vanished.
On.
Yeah. So I never found that spider, but he's somewhere around here, I'm sure of it. Maybe C. Eric Scott will find him sleeping in his bed.
Well, I'm sure it won't. If it doesn't, it won't be for lack of looking.
That's right. All right, let's get back to some of this weird news I've been promising you about. This is quite fascinating. And I think this is an incredibly important story because this is really setting the tone for really the next generation and ultimately what's going to happen over the next 50 years, I assure you. Let's see. This particular version comes from Yahoo News from New York. And the line here, new U.S. space mining law to spark interplanetary gold rush. Flashing some interplanetary gold bling and sipping space water might sound far-fetched, but both could soon be reality thanks to a new U.S. law that legalizes cosmic mining. In a first, President Barack Obama signed legislation that allows commercial extraction of minerals and other materials, including water, from asteroids and the moon. That could kick off an extraterrestrial gold rush backed by a private aeronautics industry that is growing quickly and cutting the price of commercial spaceflight.
You know what that says to me is that there's already a lot of people who can do that, and they're already pretty powerful and rich. And, like, when the president signs stuff like that, that means he's, like, looking out for somebody. And so there's already people doing that. There would have to be.
Well, or at least they want to make sure that, you know, there's not going to be any obstacle when they bring back their first load here.
The right people get rich.
Yeah. It says here, the U.S. Commercial Space Launch Competitiveness Act of 2015 says that any materials American individuals or companies find on an asteroid or the moon is theirs to keep and do with as they please. While the Space Act breaks with the concept that space should be shared by everyone on Earth for scientific research and exploration, it establishes the rights of investors to profit from their efforts, at least under U.S. law. Christopher Johnson, a lawyer at the Secure World Foundation, which focuses on the long-term sustainable use of outer space, said it sets the basis for the next century of activity in space. He said, quote, now it is permissible to interact with space. Exploring and using space's resources has begun, end quote. This is also being compared to the 1849 gold rush, which, of course, led so many pioneers to California. Goes on and on. I think we get the picture, though.
How long do you think it'll be before this scenario plays out, where a mining company says pulls a Armageddon-esque maneuver, sending a Bruce Willis-led team of miners, drillers, to an asteroid or a meteor or something of that, a planet, a moon. And then in an effort to keep their secrets of the trade proprietary, they have to blow up their equipment, which then sends whatever out of orbit and then comes hurtling towards Earth. You know, then you could just have, like, massive space debris, even more so, planets going out of alignment, the implosion of the universe as we know it.
I think you're right. It sounds perfectly reasonable to me. I mean, that's the kind of thing that inevitably would probably happen. I mean, chances are, if it blows up, the pieces are going to be too small to do much, but
just play along.
Yes, let's make the sequel. I'll start writing
it. We should start writing a screenplay now.
It sounds like we could do a documentary at this point.
A mockumentary?
okay, here's another technology story I want to get here. You know, people ask all the time why that we think these wishing machines that we provide do so well and give people such positive experiences around the world. And Dr. Mulder, who builds the wishing machines, he says that one of the things that makes his machines best is that he is very particular about choosing and selecting the exact crystals that go inside the boxes. These are special quartz crystals, not just any old quartz will do. And he's always said that. And now here is a story that actually stems from Scientific American, okay? So this is no BS. It says, data storage in quartz crystal will change everything. There's a new type of storage device which tech corporations have been diving into in some secrecy for the past few years. Now, a company called Hitachi has revealed they are developing what is fundamentally a small sheet of quartz glass as a storage device which could possibly save data up to 300 million years and store hundreds of terabytes. And there actually is a picture of this. It looks like, I mean, literally it's like maybe a half inch by half inch little thin transparent square of glass.
You said that like it was a company, like some startup. You're like, a company called Hitachi? I've never heard of it.
It took me a moment, actually, to put two and two together. It gives you a whole new point of view. I know that, you know, there's a lot of claims are made about the crystal skulls and all that, but no doubt these are big chunks of quartz, and it may be very possible for them to hold signals and information and maybe even consciousness from the past. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I have at least two more stories I want to try to squeeze in here before we move on to hour number two with August Worley and his paradigm machine. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. Again, the number to Wright's, 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange. Everybody knew it.
Yeah, we're in the
final minutes of hour number one on tonight. Speaking of strange, I'm Joshua P. Warren. Now, coming up next hour of the show, remember now, we're going to talk to August Worley. He was an engineer who worked for Robert Moog. And so this guy really knows his stuff when it comes to innovative, visionary electronics and technology. And he has applied that to healing and literally, you know, chakra work and Reiki work and that kind of thing in this machine that he has created called the Paradigm Machine. And we're going to talk to him about this machine and what he has learned about what it means to be a human from an electromagnetic standpoint, what your body really is, and how the machine like his is designed to tap into that. That's going to be cool. Keep in mind, tonight's program is presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's is 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. Here are a couple of stories that I definitely want to fit in. You know, you see all the time on TV these shows where some psychic goes to the cops and says, I've seen a psychic vision for a crime that needs to be stopped, you know, kind of a Minority Report scenario. Well, apparently this has really happened, according to a Fox News affiliate in Madison, Wisconsin. It says a tip from a person claiming to be psychic has led police to two wanted people in Madison who were also accused of theft. The police said a man called a dispatcher saying he was a psychic and asked for police to respond to what he saw as a suspicious situation evolving after midnight in the parking lot of the Roof Inn. The man told authorities there was some sort of a conspiracy happening centering around a white car in the parking lot.
Sounds less like a psychic and more like a snitch.
Yeah. He claimed he saw people coming and going, believed they had a strange aura about them, and they were likely connected to unnamed nefarious characters. Officers discovered the car, which was the focus of the psychic's theory. It had been stolen. It says a 25-year-old man and woman were using the car, and the two were wanted on warrants for a series of recent crimes. Officers chased the man down outside the hotel. The woman was found in a room. The man is accused of stealing $2,200 worth of jeans from a mall. The woman is accused of attempting to steal $700 worth of jeans from the same store. An employee stopped her as she exited, and she dropped the pants before jumping into a white car. The man's accused of swiping a purse, using a victim's credit card, et cetera, et cetera. So basically, the police say in this case, the tip worked out very well, you know, whether it was psychic or not. They wanted those folks, and they were happy to get the information.
Huh.
So you know, who knows?
I wonder how they use that in court, though. It's like, what was their probable cause? It's like, hey, this guy at a Red Roof Inn told us, and we think that's a pretty good reason to search you. Or whatever. Like, how did they get in there?
Yeah, I think they would just say we got a tip from somebody who said there was suspicious activity, blah, blah, blah. And that's probably all they'd have to say. That if they were already wanted, you know, the judge would probably be fine with that. They don't even have to mention the psychic stuff, I guess. Okay, now listen to this story, especially if you happen to live in Marin County, California. That is the San Francisco area. Health officials there are warning residents to be on their guard following a series of terrifying squirrel attacks. Over the last few weeks, 8 people in the town of Novato have fallen victim to ravenous rodents who seemingly strike for no apparent reason. Quote, the attacks are described as a squirrel suddenly running up to the victims, crawling up their bodies and biting them in various areas, end quote.
That could be terrifying. I would be scared.
That's kind of funny. I'm sorry.
You wouldn't be scared if a squirrel just came out of nowhere and ran up your leg and started biting at your choo-cha. it's like, and you'd be like, you'd scream. You'd
I'm thinking that
about.
The squirrel would take you before me.
And can you imagine how painful the teeth of a squirrel are sinking into your flesh?
They're carriers of disease.
Well, and listen to this. Not satisfied with a mere land campaign, The crazed squirrels are also apparently taking to the skies in their war on humans. Quote, there have been reported instances in which squirrels have jumped out of the trees and attacked victims, end quote. They say that so far these strange skirmishes have been confined to a little intersection around this town called Novato. Investigators are trying to figure out what in the world is happening. For the time being, they are just advising all residents to stay on guard. This reminds me of the old Alfred Hitchcock movie, The Birds, when the birds just all went nuts and started attacking people. This time it's the squirrels.
We don't like to think about what could happen if, you know, how many squirrels are there in the world? Billions? More than humans, probably.
They could be Mother Nature's little revival.
If they got a union and, you know, started just attacking, they got organized, we'd be messed up.
You would be in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. Okay, my friends, that's going to do it for the first hour of the show. When we come back, we will have engineer, visionary, maybe even a little bit of a mad scientist, August Worley, talking about his paradigm machine. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. Again, the number to Wright's, 828-298-5402. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.